We will talk with Democratic State Representative Peter Barca in this half hour about the latest developments in Governor Walker's law that restricts collective bargaining for public employees. Is this a law now or not? And can the Walker administration enforce a law that was published by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau on Friday when a court had ordered the Secretary of State to delay its publishing until a legal challenge was heard? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, March the 29th. What is your reaction to all of this? And what are your questions about this latest twist in this collective bargaining saga? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And before we begin, let me remind you that I am a public employee and I am affected by the changes in this bill, or is it law? Our guest is the Assembly's Minority Leader, Democratic State Representative Peter Barca from Kenosha. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Good to be on your show.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. This is a very confusing time for a lot of us. What is going on?
Well, it is very confusing because despite the fact that Judge Sumi issued a restraining order, which I had the directive that this bill not be implemented, which meant that it could not be published, the governor chose to ignore those orders and to begin to implement it on his own accord.
I know you're not the governor, Representative Barca, but why would the administration do this?
Well, I think that they know how unpopular this is. Over two-thirds of the citizens of this state are strongly opposed to this measure to take away people's collective bargaining rights. And they do not want to go back to the legislature again, knowing that support for this has been dwindling from the first day it was introduced. His personal and political support is dwindling in the state. And he's trying to push this past himself so he can move on to other issues because he knows that people do not want this bill. They do not want this law to be implemented.
It's your contention and those who have advised you that this is not the law of the state of Wisconsin right now?
Yes. I mean, we have two different legislative service agencies that are bipartisan. They are not allowed to even be involved in partisan politics. They have a longstanding reputation that Democrats and Republicans rely upon their opinions. And both of those service agencies, which advise us, have indicated that this law is not officially published, that it takes the Secretary of State to do that. So despite that, the governor has relied upon some attorneys that work for him, that tell him what he wants to hear, or they'll be fired. And it's on very shaky legal grounds. I think no legal foundation whatsoever. They've chosen to implement this, I believe, in defiance of a court order.
And there is a hearing today in Judge Sumi's courtroom. What can we expect from this?
Well, it will be very interesting, I'm sure, Joy. You know, I'll be there myself this morning. I'm one of the witnesses, and it'll be very interesting to see what approach he takes. I know that the Dane County District Attorney went to court on Saturday trying to enforce the injunction. And the duty judge, Judge O'Brien, I believe it was, indicated that since Judge Sumi, who issued the order, will be back in court on Tuesday, that it should really fall in her hands to make that decision of how to proceed.
You are a witness because?
Well, I initially filed the complaint on the open meetings violation. It seemed very clear to me they were violating the law. And, you know, laws that are passed improperly, you know, should not stand. They should be invalidated. And the Dane County DA sent investigators over that met with a wide array of people in the legislature, and they came to the conclusion that the open meetings law was violated. They filed a complaint with Judge Sumi. Judge Sumi found enough evidence to believe it was violated that she issued the injunction. the Court of Appeals took it up. They decided that they would pass it on to the Supreme Court, and so it's still embroiled in the courts. But we believe the injunction could not have been clearer. She said very clearly this law should not be implemented while it's under this kind of cloud of uncertainty of you know, what we believe is a clear violation of the open meetings law.
But we heard in our state newscast, Sean Johnson's story, DOA Secretary Mike Hipsch saying that he was under no such court order, and the Attorney General arguing that the Legislative Reference Bureau's publication is what makes a law a law.
Well, ironically, the director of the Legislative Reference Bureau, who did, in fact, publish it because he felt that it was his obligation to put it on their website after 10 days, said that he himself believes it's not law. That he said his part is only one of two parts needed to fully publish a law, the other part being that of a constitutional officer mentioned in the Constitution, the Secretary of State, and he is under an injunction not to publish. And the judge was very clear, Joy. I mean, the judge said that this bill should not be implemented. It wasn't just a technicality of who should publish it. I don't think the order could have been any clearer. So it's unfortunate that they, you know, every time you turn around, they try and pull a fast one. They look for every loophole they can find. But I don't think there's even a loophole there for them to hang their hat on.
Representative Barca, is the state of Wisconsin in some sort of constitutional crisis right now?
Well, I believe we are bordering on a constitutional crisis. You know, this governor just seems to not respect the law, to be frank. I mean, we also had an order from Judge Albers to open the Capitol to the degree that it was open on January 28th. They still have not followed that order. You know, they'll be back in court on that sometime in the next couple weeks. And it's, you know, very disappointing to see this lack of regard and really lack of respect for the courts and their authority.
Peter Barca is our guest. He is a Democratic state representative from Kenosha and the Assembly Minority Leader. He is giving us his take on what's going on at the state capitol with the publishing by the Legislative Reference Bureau of the collective bargaining legislation and the Governor Walker's administration saying that it is now implementing and enforcing this law. But this is after a court had ordered the Secretary of State to not publish this law, to not proceed with the implementation of this law until a challenge to it could be heard in court. That hearing, by the way, is today. What do you think about all this? What are your questions and reactions? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after the news, after 7:30, we will talk about President Obama's speech on Libya last night and his handling of the situation. That's coming up. By the way, in our weather forecast for today, we can expect a partly to mostly cloudy and cool day with high temperatures between 35 and 42 degrees. Right now, temperatures across the state range from 7 degrees in Green Bay to 23 degrees in La Crosse, 26 degrees in Madison and Milwaukee. We are talking with Peter Barca, the Assembly's Minority Leader, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha, about the collective bargaining saga. Is this legislation the law of the land or not? And we have many callers. Let me take our first. Joy in Madison is with us. Hi, Joy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Representative Barca, thank you for your energy over the last few weeks. I for one, appreciate it, and I know many do, I'm sure. Couple quick comments and a question. To me, it seems that the internet posting is just by the Reference Bureau is just for the convenience of citizens who want to see the wording of the final version of the law. And I thought, now maybe this was real estate or other things or financial things, but I thought the traditional term used to be things were published in the newspaper of record. And then my real question is, are the Fitzgerald and Hibsch of DOA, are they attorneys? Are they trained in the law?
Do you know Representative Barca?
I missed the last part of the question. Is who skilled in the law?
She wondered if the Fitzgerald brothers or Mike Hibsch are trained in the law.
I don't believe any of them are attorneys, quite frankly. As far as I know, none of those three are actually attorneys. But even if they were, I mean, typically you rely upon, you know, the nonpartisan attorneys to guide us in the legislature. You know, Democrats and Republicans alike have all given acclaim to the Legislative Reference Bureau and Legislative Council and Fiscal Bureau and Audit Bureau for that means, because they are nonpartisan and because they are paid to give their unbiased, nonpartisan view of the facts of each circumstance that we're confronted with. And in this case, you know, we're confronted with what does it mean to publish a law? And, you know, and both of them said very strongly they believe that it does take the Secretary of State. And the caller, I think, you know, very adeptly mentioned really what is the purpose of publication. The purpose is to put the notice in the newspaper of record so that all citizens know and understand what the law is and that they're given notice that it is going into effect. And it's the Secretary of State that's charged with doing that, and that's why it seems very clear to me that it has not been properly published. And of course, going back to the judge's order, you know, the first paragraph of the judge's order didn't even mention publication. It just said that this law should not be implemented. And so that's the other side of the equation, is that Secretary Hibsch is implementing a law where the judge ordered a restraining order. And I'm very disappointed that he's done that. I think he's added enormous confusion, and I believe he's in violation of a court order.
I read that the Department of Justice is or has filed something with Judge Sumi's court saying that it's not appealing the temporary restraining order on Secretary of State La Follette anymore because the Legislative Reference Bureau published this law.
Yes, you know, they, it's sort of an interesting argument that they make, that since it's now published, they sort of look at it as de facto, the governor said it's published, so therefore there shouldn't be a restraining order any longer, which is, you know, so, in my judgment, sort of twisted logic. If it's published, then it wouldn't matter if there's a restraining order any longer, because if your point is that it doesn't really matter what the Secretary of State does, then what does it matter if there continues to be a restraining order on the Secretary of State?
Mm-hmm. Our next caller is Sue in Rhinelander. Hello, Sue.
Hello. My question is, the governor has implemented this law, and starting April 21st, it will affect state employees, and the monies will start coming out of the checks. What if this isn't settled? Will that still happen, or are they going to be able to start, you know, implement it without it being passed? That's my question.
Well,
I'll take the answer.
I mean, now it's in the hands of the court. I mean, should, let's say, Judge Sumi issue an order that it was passed illegally in violation of the open meetings law, which, you know, all indications appear to be that would be the ruling, given the opinion that she issued in giving the temporary restraining order. But should that, in fact, be the case, then she would have the power to invalidate the law. So then, despite this action, they would not be able to proceed. Now, of course, the Supreme Court is still charged with hearing the case on whether or not the courts can, in fact, direct the legislature of what to do in these cases. There's been some opinions that that have indicated that there is a separation of powers. However, when there is constitutional violations, there have been very clear court decisions that have stated that laws will be invalidated. So it is both in circuit court, where we should hopefully have an opinion in the next day or two, and then the Supreme Court could choose to take up the case, or they may not take up the case. It's their prerogative.
Thank you, Sue. David in Fort Atkinson is with us now. Hello, David.
Good morning, Joy. Well, first of all, I think I should say that I really have no interest in the law per se, so I don't really care whether or not the collective bargaining rights are upheld or taken away. My concern at the moment is that I believe we're on the, as the representative said, the very cusp of a constitutional crisis, because what we have here is one branch of the government, the judicial branch, ordering that something not become a law. Now, that is simply not in the constitutional prerogative of the judicial branch, nor is it within the traditions of the United States. What the judicial branch can do is it can issue an injunction that a law not be enforced, but it cannot say that you cannot make this law. So what we have is a bill, you might say, that the court is saying, no, we refuse to allow it to become a law. That is the constitutional crisis.
Peter Barca?
Well, let me see. You know, since the dawn of our republic, in one of the most important cases, Marbury versus Madison, the federal Supreme Court ruled that, in fact, they will step in when the legislature has taken actions that are, you know, illegal or unconstitutional. And in this case, if, in fact, it was passed through a violation of the open meetings law, I believe it's clearly in the court's prerogative to not allow this law to, you know, take effect. So I guess I just fundamentally disagree with the caller, and I think if you study the history of the court, they have many instances have, in fact, acted both on a federal and in various states throughout the country.
Yeah, I remember learning in school that there was a separation of powers, but that there was also a system of checks and balances.
Well, that's the most important part, is checks and balances. That was sort of the genius of the founders of our nation, was to put checks and balances in place to prevent one branch of the government through acting illegally and improperly.
Yeah, I think our caller's arguing, and I don't know if you know the answer to this. He's saying that check should happen after the law has been implemented, not before it has even been published.
Well, Judge Toomey did act before it was implemented, and I guess we'll see if it proceeds to the courts, how they rule. But I read her decision, and personally, I agree with it. It seemed very strong. It seemed very well-reasoned.
Travis in Cashton is with us. Hello, Travis.
Hello. Hi, I have a question for you. My question is why are we spending a lot more of Wisconsin's money on this situation when we can put it to another vote? And if we have to go down that route and do another vote, is the caller and the other Democratic senators going to run off to Illinois again?
Well, Travis, Representative Barca did not go to Illinois. That's a Senate quorum rule, not the Assembly. But so he thinks this is a waste of time because if this is voted on again, it's going to pass the Republican-controlled legislature anyway, Peter Barca.
Well, I guess that's a good question to pose to the governor. Why doesn't he do that if he's so confident in this? I mean, obviously, from the time he introduced it till now, support has dwindled. Support for this legislation has gone down because if people have come to understand what it means, as they've learned of Wisconsin's rich tradition of respecting, you know, labor and working people, and collective bargaining started in Wisconsin over 50 years ago, people have analyzed this and come to the conclusion by over two-thirds that they want this to continue in Wisconsin. So I believe the reason why they haven't brought it back is I don't believe that, you know, the Republicans want to go back through and continue to be supporting a law that's not very supportable by the constituents that they're elected to represent. You know, there's a sign in the or on the ceiling of the conference room of the governor's office that says the will of the people shall be the law of the land. And if we're following the will of the people, this would never become the law of the land.
Laverne in Monroe is with us. Hello, Laverne.
Hello, Joy. Hello, Peter. It's an honor to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much.
And thank you for what you did. I believe what Governor Walker did to cover up his guilt reminds me a lot of Richard Nixon and the Watergate trial. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have heard quite a number of people, both in my home area and the Kenosha area and Racine and other places, suggest that. And I hope it doesn't come to that. I mean, I hope that, you know, if in fact, let's say we do get an order and there's a final conclusion that's brought down, I would hope that the governor would respect that. You know, And it's very frustrating to me. I mean, I've served 7 terms in the legislature, 5 terms in the past, and I'm back after being gone for a while, both on a federal level and then serving the private sector and running a company the last, 7 to 10 years. And, you know, I've just never seen anything like this. I mean, you know, in Wisconsin, our Wisconsin way generally is to roll up our sleeves and try and work together and solve problems for people and move forward. And this is just, at times I blink my eyes and think, what country am I in? I mean, that there's just such disrespect shown for court orders and the law and where, you know, there just seems to be no intent to sit down and try and work through problems and just no spirit of compromise whatsoever.
Well,
it's very disappointing. We put forward 2 different bills to offer compromises to solve the budget repair issue, but without taking away rights.
Representative Barca, thank you so much. The news is next.